this world, there is real evil. In the darkest shadows and in the most ordinary places. These are the true stories of the innocent and the unimaginable. Al and Kelly are building a life together. But they find themselves in the shadows of a grim past. Death lurks around every corner. And Al uncovers a long-forgotten tragedy. The killer turns from the grave to tear the family apart. Between the world we see and the things we fear, there are doors. When they are opened, nightmares become reality. In the Canadian city of Montreal in the fall of 1996, single mother Kelly Fontaine and her six-year-old daughter Haley fantasize about living in a big house.
Walk along and, you know, pick a street, and she'd pick her favorite house and I'd pick my favorite house. That was kind of a game we always played.
Out of concern for her family, Kelly agreed to be interviewed only on the condition of anonymity.
We both seemed to like this house, where most every other street I would like one and she'd like a different one. I guess that's why this game came about, because we always dreamed of living in a nice house.
Someday we are going to have a house just like
you. For more than a year, Kelly has been dating construction supervisor Al Goodwin.
We seemed to just connect really well, and there was never anything we couldn't talk about. It was great.
Al says he's found the ideal house for them to live in together. In an odd coincidence, it's the same house that Kelly and her daughter had both picked a few days earlier.
You know that old place on Sycamore?
That's our favorite.
Oh my gosh, we love that house.
Well, then it's perfect.
When we found out it was this house, we were just so excited about it.
We thought this is the place we were going to be very, very happy there for a long time. Yeah.
Wow, it's lovely. Oh,
sure it is.
Before moving in, Al and Kelly have the rooms repainted.
When we have a baby.
They begin planning how to decorate the nursery.
Our dream was to start another family, to give Haley a brother or sister and have another baby. And everything just seemed so like it was going wonderful for us.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. We heard somebody coming up the stairs. And there was nobody there.
Maybe it was nothing.
We looked all around and didn't see anyone or anything, and we just kind of said, well, it's an old house. Maybe there's going to be noises we have to get used to.
Check over here.
A few weeks later, Al is at work and Haley is at school.
Hello?
Kelly gets a call from her doctor.
Are you sure?
She's pregnant.
Oh. That's great news. Yeah, okay.
Hello?
was just tidying up. I heard footsteps in the same room as me. I thought, okay, I'm not going to overreact. I just kind of pretended it didn't happen and carried on with what I was doing.
That evening, Kelly breaks the news to Al.
I'm pregnant.
She also tells him about the eerie footsteps.
And I didn't want to make it like I was this nervous wreck kind of person. And our relationship living together was still so new that I didn't want to sound like I was crazy.
I mean, there's nobody there. I just hear footsteps.
I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it.
Maybe it's somebody walking outside.
There's something going on here.
Knowing there are no intruders in the house, Al calls a friend, Richard Paul Masono, who works as a paranormal researcher in his spare time. Al believes Richard is the ideal person to resolve the mystery of the phantom footsteps.
We're very worried. They just signed a lease for a new place. They had a small child. They were concerned they were getting into something they shouldn't be getting into.
Al argues that there is probably a simple explanation for the sounds.
He was sort of hoping that it wasn't paranormal. He wanted to have some reasonable explanation for what was going on. I've investigated phenomena where it was just mice or, you know, the house settling.
Then we can identify the cause.
Richard suggests trying to record the sounds in the house when it is empty. The next day, Kelly prepares to leave to pick up her daughter Haley from school.
Walked with heavy footsteps down the stairs. And I slammed the door so that anything that happened past that point of the door slamming, they would know wasn't me.
Richard get off work. They retrieve the tape recorder.
I did not touch the tape recorder. I did not rewind it. I didn't want to be the one to find out whether there was anything on it or not.
I'm leaving now.
What they hear on the tape takes them all by surprise.
You could hear a tinkling that sounded like a charm bracelet. And then the footsteps stopped. It was almost not even a human sound. It was awful. It was just awful.
I looked at Al and I didn't need to tell him he had something in that house. He already knew from the tape there was something unseen roaming that house.
Al replays the eerie recording.
paranormal researcher Richard Polmasono.
You hear footsteps coming down the stairs, as if bare feet. And you can hear bracelets jingling. Then there's a sigh. And the sigh is almost like abandonment of a child.
It was actually very overwhelming to think that, you know, you have a spirit in your house and now you have no choice but to believe in something that you never believed in before.
Who do you think it is?
It definitely sounds female to me.
I bet it was a...
Al tells Richard that he had met the house's previous occupants, a woman and a 15-year-old daughter.
I heard she loved the house.
He says that the daughter wore a charm bracelet, and he thinks that the voice on the tape sounds like her.
Here's what I heard.
Both the mother and daughter were forcibly evicted for failure to pay rent. Al says the mother was a drug abuser, dressed provocatively and hung out in bars.
This is a big cake.
Her many lovers and unpaid bills made life difficult for her daughter. Al says he heard that after moving to an apartment, the mother continued to frequent bars.
I knew the mother, and she wasn't a very good person.
Hi, Mom. Don't wait up and stay out of trouble.
She was into a lot of drugs.
The 15-year-old girl became increasingly desperate about her mother's destructive behavior. Decided that death was not the right answer and called 911.
I need some help.
But the ambulance arrived too late to save her.
I don't think she was really trying to kill herself. I mean,
it seemed like it was a cry for help and not that she really wanted to kill herself. It seemed like she was trying to get her mother's attention.
We kind of put two and two together, and the three of us believe the girl had come back to the house seeking her mother and most likely following Kelly around as a mother image.
Al just kind of really got curious about it. I was a bit curious, but I was much more afraid than I was curious.
During the days and nights that follow, whenever the house is empty, Al and Richard leave tape recorders running.
And when no one's around and the house is quiet, they'll talk. They'll do things.
You could hear a phone ringing and her answering the phone, and you could hear her side of the conversation. It was completely obvious it was this girl.
Richard returns one Saturday night to investigate further. Kelly arranges for Haley to stay with friends to keep her from being frightened by the men's activities. Al and Richard set up their equipment in key locations around the house.
We were running video upstairs. We had tape recorders recording upstairs. We had tape recorders downstairs operating.
I'm glad you could come over.
Oh, Richard.
Richard's wife arrives to keep Kelly company.
I'm just gonna get the coffee, and if you don't mind, the cards are in the closet.
All right.
They decide to play cards.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. your closet? It's freezing cold.
It was really strange that the closet would be cold, because on the other side of the wall there was a hot water heater, and the pipe went through that closet, and that closet was always hot.
Hey, we decided we were going to play some bridge.
Okay.
You deal first.
Something hit me. My entire body was just tingling. I couldn't see. My eyes were watering. I was disoriented. And I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "It's like something ran through me."
Can I get you something? Some water, an aspirin, anything?
No, it's all right. It's all right. Let's listen. What's on?
Like
something just went right through me.
You okay?
Oh, man.
Now, there was only Al and I upstairs, so where this voice came from, I don't know. This door has no habit of opening by itself. Kelly and Richard's wife, they said, "That's enough. We're not staying here tonight." It was that bad. Everybody was just too scared.
Al, Kelly, Richard, and his wife returned to the haunted house after a frightening experience the night before.
I don't know. I just...
Kelly remains unnerved.
Richard and I will check it out first.
I was too afraid at that point to learn any more that was going on.
Al and Richard venture into the house to face the unknown. The two men find nothing unusual until they go to the second floor.
We went through the house upstairs only to find all these black skid marks throughout the rooms.
It certainly would explain how loud it was last night. Yeah.
The only thing I can reason is some other entity, some male entity in this house, was chasing this girl. And she was trying to get away. Kelly wanted out. Al wanted to know more.
This is John, the clairvoyant. I told you.
A few weeks later, Richard invites a clairvoyant to see if he can help.
Let me give you a little bit of background. I've had this ability to sense spirits since
the clairvoyant, John, has been able to sense the presence of spirits since childhood.
Buildings such as this, this will help.
He has communicated with the dead in more than 1,000 readings.
Hierarchy of ghosts.
Pendulum is an instrument I've used for years.
I hold it like this.
Some people refer to it as a dowsing tool. There's a sense or feeling through your hand, almost like a current of electricity.
Pendulums have been employed for millennia to detect imperceptible vibrations and often to communicate with spirits. John explains that he asks questions and that the spirits move the pendulum clockwise for yes and counterclockwise for no.
I've had it moving so strongly that I've had to actually hold on. It would have flown out of my hand.
Is there a spirit here who would like to communicate?
I did get a positive response.
Are you a male spirit?
The pendulum indicated a very strong yes.
Yes. Can you tell me about it?
And then all of a sudden, boom, fear, would come right through me.
Whoever was speaking to us is now terrified. Not tonight, he's killed him.
John tells them that the dark entity has silenced the other spirits.
We can try again.
I think that just completely sparked Al's and Richard's curiosity, and they just wanted to continue and do as much investigating as possible to find out what was going on and how we could change it.
A few nights later, John returns for another try.
I usually run equipment at the same time, and then afterwards I would review the tape, and then I would hear the other side of the conversation.
Is there a spirit here who wishes to communicate? Do you know the name of
the clairvoyant tries to find out more about the dark entity.
I specifically remember asking, does he have a name? Do you know his name? The answer clearly was, and this is when the pendulum began to accelerate in its intensity, yes.
Please indicate when I get to the first letter of his name. A, B, C, D, E. Good. First letter is E. Now for the second letter. A, B, C, C. He's here.
What we got on tape was very clearly.
You didn't tell them my name.
You didn't
did
give
you?
Them my name, did you?
Did you?
I don't want any part of this anymore.
Come Kelly on. Finds it terrifying.
We're going to get rid of this ghost.
No.
I said, I don't want to know anything that's going on anymore because I was just too afraid.
Richard begins researching the history of Alan Kelly's home. He discovers that in the 1930s and 40s, it was home to the hired help for a nearby mansion. He also discovers that the mansion was managed by a man named Edward, the same name heard on the tape. Edward had been appointed to manage the huge estate during World War II.
There are streaks.
What is wrong with you?
He quickly became a brutal tyrant.
I will teach you to obey.
Don't ever touch me!
He was a mean-spirited individual. He would take advantage of the female workers on the property. He thought he was very powerful.
So Richard was doing some research, and he found out there really wasn't Edward.
Al tries to tell Kelly about their research.
Stop it! I don't want to hear it. Come on.
A few hours later, Kelly finds herself alone in the house.
Thank you.
Like this, whatever it was really trying to scare us now.
He was here again today. I was coming out of the bathroom.
That night, Kelly tells Al what's happened to her.
It was really pretty scary.
The news frustrates him.
I'm going to get
his desire to put an end to the haunting has begun to drive a wedge between the two of them.
Why don't we just cancel our lease and
Al seemed like he was possessed at times.
And give up our dream home?
I didn't understand what was driving him to want to stay there and get to the bottom of it.
Because I'm going to get our home back. Our life.
Al convinces Kelly that Edward is somehow the key to bringing all the terrifying experiences to an end.
What about Haley?
He promises that while he tries to solve the mystery, he will protect both her and Haley.
Finding out what I need to know.
He reassured me that they were so close to putting the puzzle together and solving it that he was very confident that it would stop.
Okay.
I couldn't really describe why I chose to stay when I should have been out of there.
Did you hear that?
Whenever Al hears an unusual sound, he snaps a photo, hoping to capture images from the spirit world.
Check it out. Here are the pictures I told you about.
Al shows one of the photos to Richard and John.
They do look like babies. I remember just seeing little infant faces. This is not us imagining this. There's one face, there's a face, there's a face, there's a face, there's a face.
One night, Haley goes downstairs to get a drink of water.
Al?
Her terror makes it difficult for her to talk.
I saw someone. I thought it was Al, but it wasn't.
I was petrified for my daughter. She was young. She was so innocent.
Maybe it could have been a nightmare.
No, I saw him. He was walking towards me.
The next morning.
I thought, okay, there's lots of cord still here. I didn't pull it out of the wall. This is strange.
here and nothing's been moved.
I don't care. This is all your fault. You and your friends haven't stirred everything up. It's just getting worse.
That's not true. We're trying to get rid of him.
It started putting a really big strain on our relationship because it was like he was more concerned with the unknown than he was for us.
Kelly.
And I felt very frustrated that he was so into doing this and figuring it all out that he was putting our feelings aside. He again convinced me that they were just so close to putting this puzzle together and that things were going to change and things would be okay once they figured it out.
Al, Richard, and John decide to only do research outside the house out of respect for Kelly.
I saw that she was very nervous. She didn't want to disturb her household, but at the same time, her household was under attack, and so was she.
John warns Al that evil spirits may be trying to ruin his relationship with Kelly.
And I did say this to Al. Be careful with the relationship with your wife, because very often they will do things to get you arguing, to get you fighting, to get you to hurt each other. They feed off that negative energy. They also know that, you know, they break your marriage up, you're leaving. The fact that it manifested solid as it did, I felt it was saying, well, I know you see me. I don't care. I want you to see me. I want you to get a good look at me.
Al tells the others that he heard that a man living in the old mansion next door had repeatedly seen the dark, ghostly figure in his basement apartment. The man moved out after a section of the floor in his bedroom mysteriously sank.
It's interesting that this figure is showing up in different areas of the property. It doesn't seem that he just shows up in one room of a house. I said, we need to look into it.
They decide to investigate. In what used to be an old mansion, three men hunt for clues to a haunting.
We basically made a portable Ouija board, for lack of a better term. A, B, C, D, E, and N numbers. We laid this out on the floor, and I used the pendulum. I felt that we were going to need more than just yes or no down here.
Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Is there any spirit here who wishes to communicate?
John contacts the spirit of a 19-year-old girl.
I asked the young girl her name. She very clearly spelled out Angela.
How old were you when you died?
John discovers that in 1943, the girl died on the property.
And I asked her, what is it that caused your death?
B.
And the word I got was bleed. B-L-E-E-D, bleed.
B, A,
and then
B, Y.
Very clear, my baby.
John learns that she had gone to see a doctor. She identifies him as the Butcher. The next day, John approaches an expert on local history.
I checked with a professor at the university, and I asked her, can you tell me anything about this name? And she says, oh, there was a very famous abortionist that worked in the local area.
It came up in some of my research.
John develops a theory about what happened at the estate.
The doctor had to flee the U.S. back in the early 40s. And this butler, Edward, saw a beautiful opportunity. They could make a lot of money.
you don't want to hear about it.
Al tries to tell Kelly about their new theory.
I had a crucifix on my nightstand, and it landed with such force that it broke. I was petrified, and I said, no, this is enough. We have to get out of here. This is insane.
I'm too scared to go to bed at night, and when I do, I can't sleep anyway. We need to get out of here. Together, as a family.
Come on out and face me! Come on!
The shattering of the crucifix frustrates
Al. You can't face the man, can you?
This ain't gonna help anything.
I said, you come out, you face me. Where are you? Come on out. Nothing.
Oh. Hello.
Is this it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's go easy.
Okay.
Let's go easy.
Okay.
Let's go.
Despite the pressures during her pregnancy, Kelly delivers a healthy baby girl. The couple names her Charity. 2 days later, Kelly returns home with her new daughter, unsure of what awaits them. At the former mansion, the three men hunt for information that will help them expel a powerful dark entity.
We'd like to speak with Angela. Is Angela here?
John contacts the spirit of a girl who says she died in 1943.
Yes. Can you help us find your body?
He asked a question, well, can you give us an indication where you're buried? And the pendulum, being on a chain, stood straight out.
This amazes paranormal researcher Richard Pomosano.
Totally defies physics, boggles my mind. If I had not witnessed it, I probably would not believe it.
Is this where you're buried? Is this it?
Yes, this is where she's buried.
Al, John, and Richard piece together Angela's last hours. Estate for an abortion. But the procedure was botched, nearly killing her. Edward and the doctor carried the dying girl to the basement and dug a shallow grave.
He and the doctor dumped her in a hole in the basement. Tossed some large rocks on her to make sure she was dead. And then covered her up. And this 19-year-old is still there. She wants to be released. She wants out of that house.
The nightmare is almost over.
Al has a background in construction. He tells the owner he will tear out the sunken floor for free. The floor has to be replaced anyway, so the owner agrees.
We went about 8 or 9 inches deeper. And we found the flagstone that matched the flagstone around the fireplace, which was in that room.
Guys, it's really late.
The men need more equipment to remove the heavy stones. So they decide to continue in the morning. The next day, the men return to the mansion to continue digging.
Hey, what are you doing?
But the owner has hired workers to repair the floor.
Wait a couple hours.
They've already poured new concrete.
We've got to get the surface done.
We shouldn't have stopped. We should have kept going. I could have been as little as 6 inches away from a startling revelation, and I believe she's still there.
Al and Richard are frustrated that they cannot continue this search. And without hard evidence, they cannot go to the police. Meanwhile, Kelly gets Charity ready for her bath.
Yeah, come on.
John.
John, what is it?
Revenge. I think we've made him mad.
John suddenly senses they've deeply angered the dark entity.
Newborn.
That's when Al thought something bad's gonna happen to her too, and that's when he really finally agreed that yeah, it's time for us to get out of here.
I love you.
Let's move.
The family finally moves out, leaving the dark entity in control. But even today, Al wishes he had rescued Angela's bones and laid to rest the mystery behind the haunting.
There's no end for me. I don't think even Kelly knows that. I don't think I could even tell her about that. If I ever found out that I could walk in that house, and I'd probably do it again just to find out.